Well, hello and welcome to episode 65 of the Payers and Players podcast. My name's Robert and I'm here with Mr. Scott Colson. Scott, welcome.
Thanks, Robert. Today we have on our show Brian Wilson. Brian is the Associate Director of High Performance at Darling Tennis Center in Las Vegas and is a U.S. scout for head tennis. He grew up in San Diego and was a top-ranked junior in Southern California. He played collegiately at the University of Illinois, where he won the doubles title with Rajiv Ram, who just won the U.S. Open doubles title. He also won a team title and achieved a number one ranking in singles while he was at Illinois. After college, he played professionally for 5 years, winning 15 titles in singles and doubles. And during his time playing world team tennis, had wins over Pete Sampras and Pat Rafter. After his playing career, he coached at the Darling Tennis Center and the Northwest High Performance Tennis Center in Seattle. So hopefully I got that all right, Brian. But if not, you can correct me. And if it's all good, you can give us a little bit about your tennis background, how you got into tennis.
Yeah, no, it's all good. Thanks, guys, for having me on. I appreciate it. I love talking tennis. I love talking junior tennis. So happy to be on. My background was I grew up playing in Southern Cal in San Diego. All the members of my family played. It was really a family sport, so it was great. Both grandparents played. My parents played. So I started at a young age, you know, 4 years old with a little Boris Becker Puma wooden racket. And we actually started playing at the YMCA. And we go out, you know, hit balls around and I played a couple sports, you know, throughout my younger days and into my teenage years, actually, but got competitive, you know, at a young age, you know, 10, 11 years old playing tournaments and, you know, was pretty blessed to be in Southern Cal and to have a lot of good competition. So definitely started as a family sport and then got competitive, a little later on.
That's awesome. I grew up in San Diego, so it's nice to talk to the fellow San Diegan. So,
it's a beautiful spot, and a lot of good things happen in San Diego in regards to tennis. Man,
amazing.
Good friend of mine, Ryan Redondo, who I actually lived with for a little bit and trained as a teenager, and we actually played in the finals of the NCAA doubles event. He is just rocking and rolling there at the Barnes Center, and I'll be down there in a couple weeks for the ATP. So. Very excited to see that for San Diego tennis.
Yeah, and I know his uncle, Walter Redondo. He ran some groups when I was there in San Diego, and he was a fantastic guy and a fantastic player who's now quite an accomplished artist as well. So
yeah, they've got quite the back genetic background for tennis. It's the wonderful tennis family for sure.
For sure. Hey, why don't you give us a little bit of background on the programs that you've run at Darling and in Seattle? I know that those are both really successful programs. And we'd like to sort of get an understanding of sort of what is the structure and the backbone of those programs in terms of, you know, how you structure your say high performance groups or academies or however you refer to them.
Yeah, absolutely. So I finished playing professionally in 2008. And right away I was actually already living in Las Vegas traveling. And, I met with the team there at Darling and it's a beautiful facility, you know, 23 courts, you know, they used to host the Tennis Channel Open. So number one, great facility. Part of our philosophy there, you know, right away as we started was developing players from the ground up, meaning getting them at a young age, educating the parents, making sure they have the right technique. And they really knew how to play an all-court game, you know, even at, you know, 4, 5, 6 years old. You know, we had a fair amount of support from the USTA. We were named a regional training center, I think, close after when I started. But a lot of it was, you know, was making sure that we were developing players from a young age, you know, not waiting until they were 12, 13, 14 to, you know, put the best coaches with them or spend a lot of time with them. Or educate the parents. I think that happens quite a bit where the best coaches are not working with the younger groups. And that's something that we, part of our philosophy, you know, both directors, you know, even now myself and our other director, Saad, we work with the younger groups, you know, almost every day. So that was something that I really enjoyed doing. That's something that we were known for, you know, developing champions from a young age, you know, not checking out the tournaments. No, this kid's a good 13-year-old. Let's see if we can snag them. And that definitely carried over, you know, when I had an opportunity to move to Seattle, I moved up there with a college teammate of mine. He brought us up, Michael Calkins, who was a great player at Illinois. And, I worked closely with Mike and another coach by the name of Dan Willman. Dan Willman was the guy, was, you know, he just created an unbelievable atmosphere in Seattle. And we were on the east side of Seattle in Kirkland, and we didn't have access to a lot of courts being indoors. So he actually ran practices at 6 a.m. every single day. And those were the times when we could get courts, and it actually created a great mentality, you know, of toughness and resilience and no excuses. And that program turned into really a powerhouse. And one of our players won Le Petit. He won Kalamazoo 16s, went on to win multiple national championships at Virginia, Henrik Wiersholm. Yep. And several other players, number one rankings, but just an incredible atmosphere, to be honest, a high performance atmosphere where the parents were on board, you know, would not make excuses if a child was late or if they were dogging it. So it was nice to see, because that you know, that attitude and that ability to challenge kids has gone away a fair amount in our society. So that's right. Something that was really excited to be a part of. Henrik's sister, actually, I just saw at the US Open, Katia Wiersholm, and she became a lucky loser in the girls draw and won, I think, two rounds. She's going to go to play at Cal Berkeley, but just a great atmosphere, you know, a lot of hard work, early mornings, you know, but it was great. You know, we had a big team of coaches, but we were on the same page, which is important.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, part of developing a high level player is quality events for them to participate in. And I know you've got some UTR things going on, and you've even built out something that's kind of interesting. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's been interesting to see, you know, what's happened with some of the tournaments and the USTA system is definitely lagging a little bit. But yeah, I mean, UTR has been a great partner of mine in our clubs. And we've already ran several professional events, four or five PTT professional events, which are great because even top juniors can play those and get a number of matches. It's not one and done. They're guaranteed four or five matches. That's great for development, you know, for a 16 or 17 year old player.
What does that structure look like? Can you sort of define how you're able to get four or five matches in a tournament?
Yeah. So the PTT is set up as far as a round robin. So players are grouped into a round robin, a group of four, and they play through that round robin, I think, until Thursday or Friday. And once you do well in your round robin, you can advance to a single elimination. You know, but essentially Monday through Friday, you're playing matches in that group. And, you know, a lot of pro tournaments or smaller pro tournaments that these juniors go to, it's one and done. You know, you go play a futures event, like I did a lot. You know, we no longer have satellites, but, you know, a futures event could be one and done. So you could travel across the country, you could travel to Europe, South America, and you know, you play one match, you're done. So the PTTs are great because they know that players need quality events and quality matches. So you're essentially guaranteed that through the system. And then you're guaranteed a decent amount of prize money as well, which is important.
Yeah. I mean, it's to me, it's amazing what you guys have come up with, because it is a very unique, you know, system or tournament structure. You know, everyone sort of is, you know, in, you know, the black and white, you know, thinking inside the box, okay, here's what a tournament looks like. And like you say, it's one and done. So all these kids that are, you know, playing, you know, challengers or futures, they get that one match, they're done on Monday, and they don't have another tournament match until maybe the next Monday.
Yeah. And also a lot of people that, you know, play juniors that play national USTA events, they don't treat the back draw like it's part of the tournament, right? They're pulling out, they're withdrawing, the parents and coaches allow them to do that. So, you know, within these UTR events, you know, it's a complete opposite, because it is a round robin. So every match counts. So that's something that is really, really important. That's something that's going to go towards, you know, that helping these players in college, you know, no matter what you play in the lineup, you know, one to six, or you maybe play three doubles, it all counts the same. So I think that's part of the mentality of creating better competitors, you know, and hopefully will springboard to success. It's important.
Yeah. And tell us a little bit more about some of the other events you have coming up later in the year at Darwin.
Yeah, really exciting. So we actually have three events. They're all going to be held at the same time. early December, December 3rd, we're going to start off. We're going to host the ITA Coaches Convention, which is the Intercollegiate Tennis Association. So we'll have, you know, close to 200 coaches of all levels, top Division I to Division II and Division III. They're going to be on site at Darling doing meetings and also scouting players. We're going to have a two-day college showcase that is going to be going live soon on Universal Tennis. So go check their website. This showcase is going to be quite unique because players are going to play in a team format, which is a lot of fun. And I know as a junior, I love playing in team events, you know, whether it's zonals or intersectionals. So this team event is going to comprise of teams of six. These teams will compete. It'll be live streamed worldwide. They'll play singles and doubles. And these matches will all count towards the UTR rating. After the two-day college showcase, there will be a four-day UTR National Pathway National Championships. And already there has been UTR regional events that are happening across the country. These regional events will normally be held on college campuses to help give players, you know, more access to those college coaches and to see those programs. If you do really well in these regional events, then you advance to the national events. And again, the great thing about the national event that we're going to host at Darling in early December is college coaches will be on site. You'll also will have your matches live streamed. So if coaches don't make it, they can watch online. And if you are one of the top finishers in these events in December, you're going to gain wild cards into UTR PTT events. So professional events. The ones we just talked about, which, you know, you get prize money, you get access to four or five quality matches a week. So it's a really well thought out plan. This is going to be the first year they're doing it. And I'm really excited to host these events in December.
Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit more about the ages that can participate and where they can go to find this information? You know, sure. You start talking team events and stuff. I'm getting excited about my own child participating.
So yeah.
How do we get information? What age a kid can participate?
So there's going to be three age divisions across the regional events. So again, the regional events are already happening and you're already able to sign up for those. So it's all housed at universaltennis.com. They've got a whole section on this national junior pathway. They've got a really good section of go ahead.
Excuse me, Brian. Yeah. And what age groups again? Cause I think it's 17s, 15s and 13s, right?
Correct. Yep. So for the regional events, they're going to have 13U, 15U, and 17U. For the national events for this year, they're only doing 15U and 17U due to the nature of the college coaches being on site, and it's centered more to being recruited. But any regional event, you know, 13-year under can play. In regards to those divisions, 13, 15, and 17, the top 16 UTRs will be accepted. So it's not essentially first come, first serve. It's not, you know, based on any rankings. It's based on the UTRs. So if you qualify, you know, if you sign up and you get in, it's going to be a really, really cool event.
And you know what? I'm curious why that they did the, you know, we're used to the 12, 14, 16, 18 kind of age groups. But I think that the 13, 15, 17 is actually a better grouping of kids in their development, you know, because like you say, you know, a 14-year-old is a lot different than say even a 13-year-old just with puberty and everything. So I think it's good. I think it's really good to sort of maybe tweak it a little bit and just sort of see how that plays out, because it is hard for a 12-year-old, you know, who just maybe turned 13 to compete with someone that's 14 going on 15, as opposed to maybe, you know, shifting it just one age, one year.
Yeah. And I think part of the thought process was most 18-year-olds have already decided on a college, right? And, you know, most college coaches need to be looking at younger players. So I think that kind of started from the top tier, the top age, 17, and you know, just doing something a little different. A 12, 13-year-old, usually pretty, pretty close. You know, I've been to some 12 and under events, and there's 10-year-olds playing that are way outmatched. So I think this will take out some of the 10, 11-year-olds. You know, these 12, 13 year olds, I think we're going to see, you know, great quality matches from.
Right. So I know that you're at Kalamazoo and the US Open. Could you tell us a little bit about, like, so what purpose, I guess, in what capacity were you there, and maybe some observations that you had that you could share with us in terms of, you know, how it would benefit junior development?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's, you know, Kalamazoo is always fun going to. You know, I mean, number one, it was great to see, you know, players competing at that level. It's great to see a lot of my friends that are coaching in college or private coaches. The capacity I was there with was with Head Racket Sports. So I'm in charge of scouting players for the entire U.S. And I communicate quite often with our pro player department in Austria. So what my role is I'm looking to connect with coaches, academies, and ultimately players that we want being ambassadors for our rackets and our company. U.S. Open, similar. We had some meetings out there with our head team. You know, we were there to support the professionals and the juniors that use head products. And again, you know, I was there to scout. Overall, I mean, I think that the level at Kalamazoo was great. You know, it's, you know, fun to see that top level play. I mean, you know, Svida has played incredible. I've known his coach for a long time, Matt Hanlon. And that was great to see. Great to see some success at the U.S. Open. You know, we had some great success from our head juniors. One of our players, Colton Smith, you know, got fifth place. He played in the U.S. Open and won around there. And so, yeah, it was really good to see. I mean, you definitely see a shift in, you know, people being able to travel more, you know, being able to recruit now. But a big thing I did run into was these college coaches didn't know a lot about most of the juniors. It's definitely a time where they're getting reacquainted with new players that are aging up, you know, and some players they haven't seen in a year that maybe have improved a lot. So I think, you know, and over the next 6 to 9 months, these college coaches are going to have to work very hard on doing some more recruiting and putting more time into that because they haven't been able to. So I think these UTR events and then our December conference is going to really help them in that regard.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, you know, when you see the top guys like Svida and Ben Shelton, you know, they're at Kalamazoo, what are some things that maybe you notice about them that makes them a little bit, you know, special or unique in terms of how they approach the game, how they prepare? Is there something in that sort of stood out to you?
I think at that level, you know, the top players there, you know, I even was talking to one of the top strength and conditioning guys in the entire country, Johnny Parks, who was formerly mm-hmm. with USTA. He's now at IMG. And, you know, about the mentality and you talk about preparation. Yeah. I mean, you know, they're out there, you know, 30 minutes before practice doing med ball, doing TheraBands. And while they're doing that, they're not getting just the body ready. They're getting their mind ready for the practice. And, you know, that he talked about, hey, this is a business trip. You know, a lot of these kids are, you know, running around and, you know, in between matches and you see select number of players are there and they mean business. And I think a lot of what it comes down to at that level is they have a game plan. They stick to it under pressure. They understand that, you know, if you have a game plan, you need to do it over the long, long period of time, right? You can't play five points with a game plan and abandon it. Right. So, you know, in business, we talk about having a large sample size, right? So if you take a sample size of serving wide and playing, you know, serve plus one or playing serve and volley, like Cressy did at the U.S. Open, you have to take a large sample size. And as players mature, and even when I coach players, I see them start to mature and really understand that you have to use your plan. You've got to work your plan, you know, over 40, 50, 60, 70 points for it to work. You know, and to see if it's going to work.
Yeah, that's good because like you say, you know, it's some kids are so short-sighted. If it's, you know, something breaks down in the first game, they never go back to it. But like you say, you know, a match typically has 150 points to 200 points, and if you're going to base you know, some sort of judgment off of, you know, 3 or 4 points, that's like you say, it's just not the right sample size. And I think that's something that, you know, when we saw Jensen Brooksby, you know, you could tell he had a game plan. He stuck to it throughout. And I was curious if you had a chance to see Brooksby play and your thoughts on, you know, his style of play. And everyone's sort of talking about that.
I've known Jensen since he was 11. You know, as a faculty coach for the USTA, NorCal was my region. So I would go down there and do camps, you know, 3 times a year. So him, Katie Volyanets, I mean, they've had so many great players to come out of there.
Number one, his coach has done an unbelievable job. Joseph Gilbert, is an incredible coach, and this won't be the last champion to come out of that program. So number one, I knew Jensen was going to be tough as nails. His coach, does not allow players, to become whiners or, to feel sorry for themselves. So number one, I knew that. Number two, you see the toughness in regards to the game plan. He plays long points. He plays physical points. He has great body language. So those are things that can carry you a long way. Putting a lot of returns in play when he's on defense, he plays cross court, he plays through the middle. So those things are great things for young players to see. But, more than that, these junior players need to see the mentality of Jensen. They need to see the resilience of Jensen. They need to see that toughness. There are things that he can continue to improve, but those right there are already at a very, very high level.
Yeah.
Yeah. The interesting thing is when you watch really good players, especially in the U.S. Open, play players like Djokovic, it seems like they're able to compete at the highest level. They just can't do it over the entirety of the match. Right.
that is so true. I mean, that Berrettini match, it was amazing to see that the switch just flip, right? When Berrettini just couldn't sustain it physically and really mentally. He would get into a rally and he would go for something a little outside of his comfort zone. I see the same thing when I go to nationals. You guys asked about Kalamazoo, the same thing happens there. So, and obviously the players that are going to be successful at 20, 21, 22 on tour are already doing it at 15 and 16. So it is so true. Novak, he's lost a lot of first sets, had some people nervous, but he knew he wasn't going to lose the match. He knew deep down he was not going to lose those, right, those matches.
Well, and so it's kind of like when you watch Alabama play a mid-major and the mid-major's winning after the first quarter or the first half, but then they just keep wearing on them, right?
Yeah.
And so you wonder.
I'm just glad Ohio State lost. That's being right. An Illini, I don't even care who beats them. I just want them to lose.
Well, so the question is, what's the difference for these players? Is their training not intense enough? Are they not competing at a high enough level often enough? Why is there? What's the difference?
Well, I think competing at a high level a lot is very important, right? And that's one of the reasons why certain sections in the U.S. have been so strong. I think the UTR is going to switch that up a little bit. Is going to get the best players together. Whether that's in middle states, or Midwest, Pacific Northwest. I think competing at a high level is super important, right? Because it teaches resilience. I was very good junior player, but I wasn't winning a lot of tournaments. I was losing in the quarters or the semis. So I would always have to look at myself in the mirror on Monday morning or Sunday night on that long drive home and say, hey, what do I need to do better? So competing at a high level consistently is really important. Having a coach that's developed players before from a young age is super important. I think parents, keeping their space, keeping some distance from that process, keeping some distance when the players lose is also important.
Hey, Brian, I know that you've got to jump off here in a couple of minutes. So before we go, can you maybe just recap where we can find that information on the UTR tournaments and maybe what your contact is if anyone has any further questions about, what that pathway is?
Yeah, absolutely. So universaltennis.com and search for the section that has National Junior Pathway. Okay. They house a good section there. Also have frequently asked questions. Find your section that you want to sign up for and sign up. There are some sections that have some states that have the ability to choose their section. And that'll be displayed on a map there. People can contact me via Instagram. That's probably the best way. So if you guys want to pop up my Instagram at Brian Wilson 44, I'm pretty active on there. And I think that's the best way. But if in regards to the showcase, that's not live yet. That should be live soon. So they can keep their eyes peeled. I'll obviously be posting that. Follow Universal Tennis on Instagram. They do a really good job as well.
Hey, Brian, it's really been great getting to meet you. I almost feel like Scott does a really good job finding just awesome guests, and he's got an agenda here that's man, we didn't even scratch the surface. It almost feels like we need to do like a 4-episode series. I mean, you've been awesome.
Well, I'm always ready for a round two. I know I appreciate what you guys do, you know, in regards to getting great information out there and you know, getting parents, you know, better educated about the process. It can be a daunting process, you know, junior tennis, but, you know, there's a lot of value in it. And I really care about the entire process. You know, and getting kids better opportunities, seeing them be successful. So yeah, let's run it back. Let's get another episode going soon.
For sure. And hey, before we jump off, it is 30 minutes before the US Open final. So, when this podcast airs, it'll already be over, but I am curious your thoughts or prediction on, Medvedev versus Joker.
Joker in five.
That's a head answer, right?
It's gotta be, he's going for history. He's gonna do it.
Well, and for all entertainment purposes, I hope you're right.
Thanks a lot, guys. Take care.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.